This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
On the Ukraine and some diplomatic maneuvering by the U.S., I'll explain. Meanwhile, France re-elects Macron. He is, as they say, le champ. He wins the election in a landslide, but there are a lot of protests, and they turn kind of deadly. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. How's it hanging where you are in whatever nook and cranny you happen to be in? It's kind of an interesting time, I think, here in these United States, because now with people flying, you've got social media posts of the masks on, masks off war that just will not end. And what do I mean by that? You'll see people that wear their masks and say, oh, there's have to still have the masks on, and people are hacking up a lung near me. I wouldn't think of not having it on. And then you have other people who are saying, oh, thank goodness I can breathe. I'm on the flight. Yay. And I don't have to wear a mask. And, of course, last week that was the big challenge, because in the beginning of the week you had the Florida judge who had a ruling that basically allowed for the TSA to lift the ban on masks. And now you have the challenge by the Department of Justice, thanks to the CDC. So that could all change. You want some good news before we dive into all the negative stuff? The average price for gasoline actually dropped 3 cents. Yes, it's true. You believe it? There's a couple of surveys where I looked at them and compared, but I'll go with this one. The Lundberg survey told us that the national average for regular gasoline was down, yep, less than a nickel in the past 2 weeks to $4.24 a gallon. So the total decline, if you're keeping score, which we all are keeping score on this because you feel the pain at the pump. People are always talking about it, no matter if they have a sweet ride or if they have a junk bucket. Everybody's talking about it. So over 6 weeks, 19 cents a gallon, it has dropped. Yes. And you'll probably start to maybe see that level off a little more and then drop a couple of more cents. And so that when you go and you're skating in on empty, you'll feel that it's not quite as painful as it had been, 2 months ago. So Russia is continuously attacking Mariupol and that steel plant where there were Ukrainians that were holed up, and that there were also Ukrainian soldiers that were also there to protect them. So the area is one of the last significant holdouts of the Ukrainian forces in that city. Mariupol has been a nightmare. It is wiped out almost virtually. This is where so many people have lost their lives. And this was a holy, holy day for Ukrainians, but it wasn't a good day for the Ukraine. In fact, the one good thing about it was United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin met with Ukrainian President Zelensky in Kyiv on Sunday night. There wasn't a lot released about that. Blinken and Austin's meeting with Zelensky is the highest-ranking visit to the Ukraine by any U.S. delegation since Russia invaded a couple of months ago. Zelensky said over the weekend he had planned to meet with them, so the cat was out of the bag, but they didn't talk about it at all. There was nothing that was released about that. So this is obviously an important meeting. The Ukrainian military said it destroyed a Russian command post in a southern city that fell to Russian forces earlier in the year. But most of the wins have been on the side of the Russians as of late, especially over this past weekend, and I think heading into the weekend, the body count continues to add up for the Ukrainians. Last week we had two different people on raising awareness and money for different things. My friend Mark Lindquist came on, and he is in the Ukraine, and he's doing amazing things to help the people there with so many others from other parts of the world. And then Greg Stevan, another close friend, as you may have heard on the show also, he's in Poland, and in his case, specifically, they are raising money for ambulances and bombs for this fight against Putin and trying to stop Putin. And that's where we're at, scrambling to see what can be done from afar to help the Ukrainians in what has become very, very bleak statistics. That's for sure. All right. The COVID wars of the mask, like I said at the top, it truly is, when you go on social media, it still is the same thing. It's the raging wildfire of opinions about wearing masks, not wearing masks, looking at COVID cases, looking at whether you should wear a mask on a plane or not. In fact, there was a big piece in the Washington Post about whether you should do that or not when you're stuck in tight quarters. Because, again, a federal judge in Florida struck down the federal transportation mask mandate. So in a nutshell, that means it's not being enforced until something happens with this appeal by the Department of Justice anyway. So this went on for 2 years. Airlines had been requiring masks since May of 2020. So the ruling does mean that you don't have to wear it. But like I said, it now is a public war even more as to who's wearing and who's not wearing it and whether you should wear the mask or not. So none of the major airline carriers, as I got a lot of mailbag questions about that, are enforcing it. United, Delta, American, Southwest, Alaska Airlines, JetBlue, Spirit, none of them are requiring it. So you do not have to wear it. It's up to you whether you decide you're going to wear it or not. I was reading a quote from a professor of infectious diseases from the University of California at Berkeley School of Public Health, and his opinion was wearing a well-fitting N95 mask, to wear that, leaving it on during the entire flight, staying up to date with vaccinations. His opinion is, John Swartzberg, that it's considerable protection, right? So that's what he's saying. But the CDC waffled on this in the beginning, and their assessment was, indoor transportation areas, it remains necessary for public health. That's what flipped on the light switch for the appeal. And you can look at, like I said, comments all over the place. And I just flew, but the masks were still required, right? And this is what I think. You make up your own mind. If you want to wear a mask, get on a plane, then you wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, you don't wear a mask, period, right? Because now there's no, you don't have to wear it. So it's up to you whether you want to wear it or not. I mean, this is still, we're still in the waiting pool here because it's been less than a week, but we're coming up on a week since the ruling. So the mask mandate is not in effect. Not in effect. Much more, because we've only scratched the surface. What else is happening around the United States worth talking about? A long time senator has died. I'll tell you who next.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Forever, you know him. If I were to quiz you, who is one of the oldest people on the Hill? Former Senator Orrin Hatch, a Utah Republican. He's the longest serving Republican senator in U.S. history. There's a piece of history for you. He died on Saturday at the age of 88. He served for 42 years. Wow. 42 years from 70. He saw a lot. He voted on a lot, and he had a lot of opinions. 77 to 2019. You know, it was odd. It just kind of leaked out the information. There was a release from the Hatch Foundation that confirmed his death, but they didn't list a cause. The thing that the chairman of the Hatch Foundation said was, a man of wisdom, kindness, character, and compassion, Orrin Hatch, was everything a United States senator should be. He exemplified a generation of lawmakers, brought up on principles of committee and compromise, and he embodied those principles better than anyone in a nation divided. Orrin Hatch helped show us a better way by forging meaningful friendships on both sides of the aisle. He was a definite conservative. He favored corporate tax cuts, limited government, deregulation, military spending, mostly in his time in office. And he did reach across the aisle, that is true, on several very thorny issues, including the DREAM Act. And he was the ranking Republican on the Senate Finance Committee, and he brought in the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act during the last administration, which was the biggest tax code change, I think, in three decades. And he was definitely somebody who had a presence on the Hill. I mean, again, a senior senator who saw many things. If you think about the timeline of the 70s all the way up to modern times, from, you know, a huge 42 from 77 to 2019. So Rip Orrin Hatch, and a tip of the cap, rather, 88 years old. All right, other conversations include, I think, around the U.S., besides the mass, besides the gas, and besides taxes, because last week was taxes, so people are still either fuming about taxes, feel like they're lucky they got their taxes in, are waiting for a refund, were sad that they had a stroke of check, so to speak, because many might have done them electronically. And then there's something I realized that was interesting about taxes, and what's interesting is there's so many ways that you can file your taxes, right? And I don't know if it's the comfort of it, or it's just because they do such great advertising, and once it's like word of mouth, and or once you do it, you keep doing it and doing it and doing it again. But TurboTax, 75%, I saw a stat, don't quote me on this, this is unofficial, and in fact it might be a little bit higher, but 75% of people use TurboTax to do their taxes, right? And sometimes it's fairly easy what they have to do. If you have to jump through a lot of hoops and you feel better about doing it that way, I get it, but there are, they have a sort of a little mini monopoly on doing taxes, meaning, you know, you're getting the software, you're doing it. But it's, I think it's part of it is that part of it is the fact that they're out there, that you see it and you think, oh, well, yeah, I'll get TurboTax. You know, that's what I'll do, right? And that they spend a lot of money, you know, making sure that they're out there, and that makes sense. So you might have been a TurboTax filer or not. And the IRS actually put something else out to combat that. And what they said was, if you want to do your taxes, we have a free file product that you can use. So you don't have to pay for a tax software company. You don't have to do that to do your tax preparation and the whole filing thing. We have a free file. But what's interesting is, after I saw that, good luck trying to find that. I'm sure it's there somewhere, but I couldn't find it anywhere. So it's just like when people say, well, I keep calling the IRS, but nobody picks up, and that's because they don't have enough people. They had to hire people to process the returns this time around, more and more people. So I think they're spread incredibly thin, and there you go. That's what's happening. So if you're trying to call up, if you're trying to figure it out, if you filed but you owe, well, you know how this goes. You're just going to keep going around in that circle until next year. And we once again know that it's going to be due again, taxes. Here's something that I've heard more conversation about, and so I'm not surprised more ships are being added to the waterways. Cruising. Lots of people are taking cruises because it's been a nasty 2 years. Let's face it, tourism was the hardest hit one of the hardest hit sectors in the pandemic. Probably many of you listening to me maybe like to take cruises. There's all kinds of cruises that are, some of them are pretty cheap, where you can take a long weekend, go to Mexico, whatever it is. But because of the way the industry was hit, there's obviously people who no doubt love to cruise. So following 15 months being shut down, locked down, you're now seeing more ships are starting to come out of U.S. ports, right? And it's going to be big. I mean, after getting through the Omicron surge, you can tell because of how much it has shot up, the demand. We had Peter Greensburg on gosh, less than a month ago, and he was helping to launch a ship and talked about the cruise industry and how much it had bounced back. And according to some of the big cruise industry trade group, Cruise Lines International, that association, more than 75% of its memberships have returned to service, and they're all going to be back in the water at least by late summer. So that they think that it's going to exceed pre-pandemic levels by the end of 2023. And 40 new ships are being lined up to debut. 75 ships are in order, you know, on order. So I think cruising is bigger than ever. People are shopping. Bookings are increasing every single week. And part of that is because, right, you can get out there, you can be on the water, you can be with a bunch of people. Whether it's your family, your friends, whoever, that's a place where you can completely just relax and be waited on, right? It's about the food, swimming, doing whatever else you can do on the ships. There's all kinds of things to do. You don't have to, you don't have to leave the ship except for when you go into port and you feel like getting off or whatever it is. But it is a faster growing sector than any others when it comes to tourism. And I am so not surprised about that, because that's what I keep hearing from people again and again and again, that it's about getting out on that water. And now that the boats are back, doing it, because you could actually book them if you jump on it. I mean, cruises to everywhere too, whether the short cruises out of Florida somewhere or lengthier cruise, a cruise to Alaska. If you look it up anywhere, it is big. And I know lots of people in the U.S. love to cruise, because we got a big reaction from Pete Greensburg's segment with me about how popular it was. And you may be lining up to do just that. And I think that's, to me, that's what's going to be a lot of presents. That's going to be a lot of graduations. That's going to be a lot of milestone birthdays. I think because of the affordability of some of them, it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving, right? Keeps on giving. This is an interesting story, and one we're going to talk about this week more in depth on the show. But Bitcoin, and what does it take to produce Bitcoin? Well, electricity, if you think of what Bitcoin is. A quarter of all the electricity in the country is powering Bitcoin mining. Bitcoin mining. You know where a lot of that's happening? Where some people are listening. That would be Washington State. A lot of it happens there. A quarter of all electricity generated is powering Bitcoin mining there. Wow. Man Cave next. We got playoffs. Hoop.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. French President Emmanuel Macron was re-elected according to projections based on early ballot counts, overcoming deep divisions among voters worried about inflation and the impact of immigration on France's national identity. Macron gathering just over 58% of the estimated vote. Congressman Henry Cuellar is urging President Biden to extend a public health rule that currently authorizes deportations of illegal immigrants flocking to the southern border.
This message of lifting Title 42 is going to go straight to the criminal organizations.
Appearing on Fox News Sunday, the Texas Democrats saying the administration is listening to immigration activists, but not the people who would be on the front lines of a migrant surge. Title 42 set to end May 23rd. This is USA Radio News. Amazon workers are continuing to give the thumbs up to unionizing.
Following an unprecedented victory, labor organizers hope to unionize another Amazon facility in New York, this time a sorting facility in Staten Island known as LDJ5. The Amazon Labor Union won a labor vote across the street at a warehouse known as JFK 8. Voting will begin on Monday. The online retail giant has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in fighting unionization efforts. It has filed objections to the voting results from earlier this month, accusing the National Labor Relations Board of involving itself in the vote and the union of engaging in illegal activity. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
The Biden administration will push for new COVID-19 funding as Congress returns from recess this week. The push comes after the Senate didn't take up a $10 billion funding package before the Easter break. The White House saying the money is needed to continue the federal response to the pandemic. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
This week is the NFL draft, Thursday. It all starts round one, 8 o'clock Eastern. And a lot of the scuttlebutt is over, oh, what's going to happen? Are the Jags still undecided on the number one pick? But it does look like they're leaning toward Trayvon Walker. But who's to say what could happen? Only the team knows, and the rest is all rumors and speculation. Although it seems likely, if you look at what they need, that this would be the pick. I was always told in all the years that I covered the draft, and I covered the draft for years, hustling up what was going on with the Cowboys, going over to their outside of their war room at what was then Valley Ranch, is what they used to call it for the Cowboys. And what so many coaches told me is like, hey, listen, sometimes you just pick the best player that's there. Whoever is the best player, that's who you pick. So in this case, if you look at offensive tackles and you look at needs and then you look at the fact that you've got a new coach in Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke is the general manager, and you look at things that have happened in the past, it could be that it's not the direction, right? It could be, okay, let's go with the defensive lineman, Trayvon Walker. You saw what he did with Georgia. But they're not confirming any of that, right? But that's part of the whole thing. You can look at all kinds of mock drafts. You can look at the top tier, the top 10. You know that there are teams that are going to go up or down. You know that they're shopping that could go around, you know, absolutely. And it's fascinating to me in the lead up, especially in the next couple of days, to see, looking at this 2022 draft class, what it'll be like. You know, how many of the Georgia players are going to go? A lot of them are very good prospects. Who goes where or makes a trade that makes more sense? And the Walker question is a good question. Is there are people that love him, but then there are other people that look at other players and think, is he going to be productive enough for that first pick, right? Are there things missing from his game or not? And this is always the argument. Bottom line is you can look at all the offensive moves and all the defensive moves, but you really don't know how it's going to play out until years down the line and what that player turns into. My favorite thing about the draft is when somebody is drafted lower and then they turn out to be this incredible diamond, an incredible find, because some scout or enough scouts broke down enough footage. Maybe the player went to the column, you know, the Columbines, they looked at him there or whatever it is, or they took a gamble, and then this one wide receiver who was drafted in the sixth round turned out to be the superstar. Because you got 31 corners, you got 28 pass rushers, and 39 wide receivers that are probably accounted for. And if you believe all these mock drafts that where you speculate. All right, no speculating in the NBA. If we were sitting around in the man cave, a.k.a. also Woman Cave, we would be watching some hoop. I grew up in Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia. So the 76ers, they lead their series 3-1 over the Raptors. The Raptors had their number for years, but it's a different time now for the 76ers. So they want to be able to close the door, obviously. They have one of my favorite players to watch, their center, Joel Embiid. He is incredibly productive and has had an incredibly successful series against the Raptors, where pure points, he's averaging like 30 points. But I like watching all of it and speculating and looking at it. Also on that night on Monday, the Mavericks, who are tied with the Jazz at 2 apiece in their Western first round, game 5, is interesting because Luka Doncic, who is easily one of the best players in the NBA and very fun to watch, as I've seen him play on the tube and in person, he's got magic in a bottle for sure. This is a big one for the Mavericks, and you can bet they want to roll on and not be stopped. Like in the past, the Nets and the Celts. In this series, Boston is zipping by. They got a 3-0 edge. Now they're going to be in Brooklyn, New York. Can Kevin Durant stop the run and gun that the Celts are pouring in on them? And then Tuesday, so it's one of those kind of weeks, you have the Timberwolves and the Grizzlies. That series is intriguing. They go to a game 5. It's tied at 2. And if the Grizzlies don't win, because they're a 6.5-point favorite, they were a favorite to win this, that would be big news for the T-Wolves fans if they pull that out. The Suns and the Pelicans got really interesting. The Pelicans are not going down as they pulled off a nice win tonight, so that series is tied at 2. Miami leads their series 3-1, and they are taking it to the Hawks, their favorite in this next game, by 7. So we got some interesting games that are coming up. I like it when it goes to the end, you know, when it, and the Pelicans, like I said, really put it on the Suns. 118-103. I watched a little bit of that. That was a fun game to watch. This is the time to watch basketball. I mean, it is when you're in the playoffs. When you're in the playoffs, it's, to me, it really is. It's a whole different thing. You might have been watching your team throughout the season, but when you get to the postseason, there's a completely different feel. And that makes sense, of course, right? Because once you're out, and the idea is to keep pressing forward and go deeper into this thing. When it comes to baseball, it still feels like just the beginning of the season, and that's because essentially it really is. I mean, we're a couple weeks into this thing, and it's hard to speculate. You can see teams that are struggling, and you can see teams that are dealing with injuries, and you can see bench clearing moments that have already happened, but speculating as to who's going to be where in this very long season and looking at trends, I think we still have a little ways to go for that before we can really do that. It's very strange to me when you look at the Yankees. The Yankees are 10-6. They walloped the Guardians. 10-2 was the final in that one. And Cole is the pitcher that they got a couple years now ago from the Astros, and he has been he's what they're counting on. They paid for his arm, and to me that's a smart move. And Cole and the Yankees swept the Guardians in that series, where they've actually were the thing that stood out wasn't that they swept them, is that they had some crazy fan problems that led to beer bottles being thrown, cans being thrown, and debris after New York's walk-off win. And Cole, of course, struck out 9 over 6 2/3 scoreless innings. So the Cleveland fans, odd, it still feels odd to say Guardians, right? But the Cleveland fans didn't like the sweep by the Yankees. They had to increase security in the stands because the fans were so bad in the game previous to that. So they were trying to dissuade more bottles and other items from flying out and hitting somebody. And that was probably smart, because it was wild to see how they just exploded on the Yankees. And look, Cleveland in the American League Central, they're 7-8. They, of course, now they have a 3-game losing streak. And then you look at the East and the New York Yankees, and that sweep helped them at 10-6 to be tied with Toronto. But like I said, it's too early in the season to look at a bunch of scores, a bunch of games, and to say, you know, this team is definitely on a mission, this team is definitely going to roll all the way through, because they could have a hot first month and then cool off in the next month, and we all certainly know that that can obviously be the case. I think the fact that we have baseball is the miracle of all of this, because it was looking like there wasn't going to be any agreement on the collective bargaining agreement. But there was in the 11th hour, so instead of being completely disastrous, it was salvaged. But on the other hand, how many fans are going to watch these games? In some stadiums, it's been Spartan crowds. And is that because of the team? Is that because of the time of year? When I say Spartan crowds, they're getting more, or they were getting more, at some of these minor league games. Whew, that's not good. You look up into the stands and you think, where's all the people? What happened? I don't get it. All right, the Man Cave, we are done for now. Deeper into the week, of course, we're going to rally back with more on what's going on in the NBA and the draft. Oh, please, more draft.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Kent, The Corporate Plantation. King Bell joins us now. He's the author. Hey, King, thanks so much for coming on.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me the road to writing this book. What made you decide I'm going to write this book?
I watched George Floyd get murdered, and I was crying. And I just made my mind up that I wanted to do more than wear a T-shirt. I wanted to do more than walk up and down the street with a sign. I wanted to provide some type of substantial contribution. And this book is that contribution.
Yeah, and so when you talk about the book being the contribution, it's interesting what you put in the book. You know, the title is brilliant. I think there's a lot that people don't understand. What did you set out to do in this book, and what do you talk about?
I try to incorporate as many different nuances of being black as I possibly could in one book. And Ben, you're an author, so you understand what I'm about to say. I read a lot of books, and most of them only tackle one subject, and that's the theme throughout the entire book. But my book is a completely different approach. I really try to acquire the reader's empathy to various situations. Just waking up black in this country. And regardless of what anyone who's not black may think or feel about our progress, the goal is empathy, Kate. Let a black man write something, you read it, and empathy. That's the goal here.
Yeah, and you specifically say to people who read it who are non-black readers, you know, you wrote this out of this irritation of being what you just said, a black man in America, but you say, and you're really clear about this, it's not a black book.
It's not. I did not want to write a black book. There's too many of those. I didn't want to write an angry book. There's too many of those. I actually made it entertaining and still get my point across. And the feedback that I've gotten from so many people has just been amazing. People have called laughing. People have called crying. But I think the greatest compliment is when someone calls and says, this character is me. I live that or I'm living that right now. So I think you do not have to be black to gain a connection to one of these characters. And that's a point that I think is very pertinent that I want to make.
Yeah. Tell us about a little bit about the story and some of the characters in the book.
So the book is based on six black men who live in Charlotte, North Carolina. All of them work in corporate America except one. Silent Saint is a pastor. And what you get to do is see different aspects of their life in the corporate arena as far as work relations. You get to see Silent Saint in the church dealing with political issues. Just because it's church doesn't mean that it's perfect. It's still a people-founded institution, so there are people issues that he has to deal with. But you get to see them navigate the corporate arena. You get to see them navigate love. You get to see them navigate friendship with one another. And so I think it's a human book. I don't think it's a black book.
Yeah. For you, will you do a follow-up to this? I mean, it was so powerful, and you could certainly go in other directions. Will you do another one?
I decided to make it a three-part series. This is book one. Mm-hmm. So I'm writing book two now, and I promise you, Kate, my editor is calling me like once a month, where's the book? Where's the book? Where's the book? I'm probably 90% done with book two. But there was a very big demand for more. But the people have fallen in love with the characters, and so they want to learn more about them. They want to know more about their backgrounds. So what I decided was book two is going to be a prequel, American. The fraternity is black, and what I mean by that is they all meet at Florida A&M University, a historically black college that I graduated from, my alma mater. And so you get the background story on the main character, knowledge, his childhood. You get to see how they all met in college. And then book three, American, we're off the plantation. You get to see them, all six men in a different arena outside of corporate America.
Well, that's high praise when you're a good storyteller and people want to know more about the characters, because then you have definitely developed them and there's interest and there's no question about it. So for the first book, America at the Corporate Plantation, people listening to us, they get the book. What do you hope they take away from reading this first one?
That black people are still slaves. We can debate progress all you want, but we're still at the bottom of the totem pole. And I can give you a thousand different examples, but let's talk about the opioid crisis and how it's being dealt with. The government has sued every major pharmaceutical company in this country, and they put together this billion-dollar fund to treat the quote-unquote victims of the opioid crisis. Well, who are those victims, Kate? Those victims are predominantly white, young white men and women. Uh-huh. Well, it was also the government who was complicit in flooding black neighborhoods in the 1980s with cheap cocaine. That cheap cocaine became crack. And so when we got hooked on crack, what were we called? We were called super thugs. We were called super criminals. And all of a sudden, the same government used that as an opportunity to create, because it didn't exist before, but to create a billion, multi-billion dollar prison institution to house as many of us as they possibly could. So we get hooked on drugs, we're super thugs. White people get hooked on drugs, they're victims. So who do we sue, Kate?
Yeah. Wow, such a good point. As you said, one example.
Do you... I got a lot of them.
Yeah, and there are a lot of them, absolutely. So, when you know, it's good, though, you have such a good sense of humor, and it's like what you say in the book, there are so many angry books out there. You're not trying to be angry. Let's open eyes. I mean, is that the idea? Like, let's have the conversation. Let's be real about it.
Let's have the conversation, but let's laugh also.
Yeah.
Because I really believe comedy is a medication as well. And there's portions of the book that I think you're going to fall off the couch laughing your behind off. But there are also extremely serious portions of the book where I want you to get angry in hopes of a conversation that leads to resolution.
Perfect place to end this. Leading to resolution. King Bell, always a pleasure to talk to you. You can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Americant, The Corporate Plantation. Thank you very much, and good luck with those other books. That editor is going to be calling you.
Thank you so much, Kate. You have a great day.
Thanks, you too. The big takeaway, of course, hashtag let's have the conversation. King Bell, I love his sense of humor, and you certainly could hear it weave throughout that conversation and what the intent of his book was. Just a couple of minutes left here on this show. This is a follow-up moment because we were talking about unions and what was happening with unions in a couple of instances, whether it's Amazon or Starbucks. Of the 17 Starbucks cafes that have voted on unionization, 16 said yes, they voted yes. So how about that? And this campaign has been filed. They've had elections at 200 stores so far this year. 200 stores. What does that tell you? Amazon pushing back against unionization at a Staten Island warehouse. They're accusing union organizers of trying to buy votes with, check this out, free pot, among other claims. So they're pushing back hard. Hey, we'll give you some pot if you vote for the union. Seriously. But workers across the tech industry, of course, are looking for change. And it could create a ripple effect, like with Amazon and what's happening with Amazon. And think about it. Amazon's sales soared during the pandemic. The company doubled maximum base pay, though, for corporate and tech staff to $350,000 in February. But the warehouse associates make $32,000 a year. So there's your ripple effect, depending on what happens with these unions, what happens with the tech people. Ponder that for a minute. Music means I got to get off the stage. Thanks so much to Jeremy Paulson for his amazing work, as always, on the technicals. Thanks to you for listening.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.